We're always looking for means, ways, opportunities to strengthen our bitochon in Hashem. We know that a person who has that ability to trust Hashem has a life of menuchas hanefesh. It's unbelievable. Like, in a sense, Shabbos really is a time of menuchas hanefesh. And the yisod of Shabbos is, the Sipurnu says, l'man yonuach, menucha is shleimus, b'shleimus tiyeh menucha. When your world is complete, then there's menucha. Because there's nothing you can do about it. It's all finished. I mean, really, it starts with it's all finished. But even if it's not finished, when there's nothing you can do about it, and when you know there's a creator who has everything under control, so I'm okay. That's the koyach of Shabbos. Not for now a discussion, but we take it for granted, but that's what it is. And any bitochen is like that. It's all under control. Hashem takes care of things. I'm relying on Him. I'm trusting Him. Everything is fine. Menuchas HaNefesh. And we have learned many times that it brings results. The lotion of the Meiri is one of the most powerful, and there's many. Habiteach b'Hashem. The one who puts his trust in Hashem, his hope will not be disappointed. There's hope and there's trust and there's different nuances there, but he won't be disappointed. David HaMelech said, don't let me be embarrassed because I'm trusting you. Trust has that dual capacity of creating a peace of mind, a tranquility, and a sense of really being able to make a change, make things happen. Make a difference. Problem is with bitochen, even like a hope, kaviel Hashem, hope, and the other lashonis of hope, which is yichul and kivui and chikui, they're all lashonis of hope, different levels of hope. Problem is that sometimes we run out of strength hoping. I'm hoping. I'm praying. Relying, and nu shoyin, when is it going to be? And at that point, we get very, very disillusioned. And even the modicum, or the whatever amount of bitochen I was able to muster, starts to wane because it ain't happening. What's going to be? I don't know. Something's amiss. Something's wrong. And we tend to give up. So I noticed something in the Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah, which I think addresses this issue, or can help us address this issue, and can really lead to an additional source of strength in this whole sugya of trying to find the ability to put our trust in Hashem. The Rambam says, "Bebayis Sheni," it's the first halacha in Hilchas Chanukah. Bebayesheni, kishamalche Yovon gozru gzeras al Yisrael. In the Bayesheni, when the Greek kings made all types of edicts against the Klal Yisrael, ubotlu dosam, they were mevatel our whole religious conviction or observances. V'lehinicham oisam, didn't allow them lasak b'Torah to engage in Torah study uva mitzvahs and to do mitzvahs. Uposhtu yodom b'mamaynam u'bibnoiseyem, and they took very, very freely of our money and of our daughters as well. V'nichnesu lahechol, and they entered the Beis HaMikdash. U'porzu b'pirzus, they made all kinds of breaches in the Beis HaMikdash. U'timu hataharis, and they made tomei, defiled the pure things there. V'tzar lahem liYisrael me'oid. And they caused, because of them, Klal Yisrael had great tzar. They really wreaked havoc in our lives. V'lochtzom lachatz godol. And they pressured them with a tremendous pressure. Ad sherichem aleihem elikei aviseinu. Until the God of our fathers had rachmonis on the Klal Yisrael. V'hoishiyom miyodom. Saved them from the hands of these Yibonim. V'hitzilom. And save them. Two different levels, Yeshua and Hatzola, different levels of saving. They saved Hashem, had Rachmanas on us, and saved Klal Yisrael from this oppressive enemy. V'govru b'nei chashmonoim, and the chashmonoim, the b'nei chashmonoim, the sons of the chashmonoim, they overpowered the enemy. They overpowered hakohanim, the kohanim, the kohanim, hagedolim. Yeah, v'horgu v'horgum, and they killed out the Greeks. V'hoishiu Yisroel. V'hoishiu Yisroel mehem, and they saved the Klal Yisroel from them. What's going on over here? If I had to formulate like a whodunit, you know, who did it? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu save Klal Yisroel? Or did the Chashmonoim save Klal Yisrael? The Rambam says that Ad Sharichim Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elokei Avoseihem V'u V'hoishiyom V'hitzilom, Hashem saved them. And then in the next breath he says V'govru B'nei Chashmonoim V'hoishiyom Es Yisrael. What's Tutzachto? What's going on? L'choira. The Pshat is really very simple, and it's a major yesod in understanding the Hashkochas Hashem in the world. And that is, Hashem saw the matzav, and he had rachmonis. Rachmonis means, I have rachmonis, and I'm going to do something about it, right? It's a done deal. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmonis and decides it's done, he saved Klal Yisrael. What did the Chashmonoim do? Chashmonoim acted on sort of a delayed reaction. They had work yet to be done. They had ishtadlus to be done. They had mitzvah to be done. They had chizuk for them to be done. And they had to, you know, clean up. They had to get rid of the Yevonim completely. So on the one hand, we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu really did it because at the moment of his rachmonis, kihu omar vayehi, kihu richem vayehi. It's the same thing. He had rachmonis and it's done. However, he oftentimes lets it play out for various reasons, which we'll discuss. And they played it out. And when those that play out the Yeshua finally bring it about, Taka gives them credit. They get the credit. V'hishiyos Yisroel. Oh, but the reality is HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. Almost like the chesed is that he allows us to participate and to get credit for it happening. I believe, I'd like to suggest, that this concept can help us in many ways vis-a-vis looking at an unknown future and attempting to have bitochon. And specifically what I mean is, if the derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and here this was a situation, you know, it probably indicates that there are other situations like that too, and our lives actually indicate that, there's a sometimes delayed response between when the decision was taken and officially it was a done deal and there's no one anyone in the world could do to undermine it, to overturn it, because it was done. And the second step is that he allows it to go on until it's happening for whatever various reasons that he has, and that's when it's finished or it becomes apparent to us. In a sense, well, we'll see in a moment. But so basically, what we see is that when we look at a situation which seems so far from resolution, we have no way of knowing that the resolution hasn't already been completed, filed and sealed and concluded. It just hasn't been delivered. The truth is, there's a beautiful thing that I once heard from Rabbi Avigdor Miller. He says on the Pasuk in Tehillim, he says, "Shuvi nafshi l'mnuchoichi, ki Hashem goma lo loichi." David HaMelech is talking. He says, "My nefesh, calm down. Return to your state of rest, because Hashem has already delivered. If Hashem has already gomal, if He already did it, so why do you have to talk yourself into calming down? If you got it already, you don't have to calm yourself down." He says, "Hashem did it. It's in the mail." That's the idea. The check is in the mail. Now, but afanemis, you know, when the Rebbeinu Shalom promises it, that's different from what we hear. And that's really the idea. So we have to know that oftentimes, very often, and we'll maybe analyze a few of the possible reasons as far as we can understand, but very often he sets it up in that way. He took care of it. It's taken care of. Yes, you still have a ways to go until you earn it, until you appreciate it, until you finish your mitzvah, until you strengthen your connection with Hashem, whatever it may be. But that knowledge can be so helpful, because now I look at a situation and I daven so much and I feel such a sense of hope, and I haven't given up hope, and no matter how dismal it seems, and I managed it, and I've even reached moments where I feel I'm sure, I just know he's not going to let me down. Not shy. And then it doesn't happen, and then I say, uh-oh, the whole thing is, whatever I say, I'm not even going to repeat some of the things a person might say. But the reality is, hang in there. It's on the way. It may very well be that it's delivered already. It may very well be it's in the mailbox. It may very well be it's the mailman has it in his hand. It may very well be it's on its way tomorrow, FedEx. It's coming. And if a person can realize that, then it can give him the strength not to give up. So I think this can be a tremendous tool, knowing that it is amongst the arsenal, so to speak, in the Darkei Hashem, to delay to create a gap between the actual deliverance that he has decided, and therefore it's not any question, it's 100%, and when it actually plays itself out in front of us, so that we can actually see it and feel it and appreciate it and express our appreciation for it. What's that?
Isn't that then bordering on a tefillah shov, possibly?
No. It's not considered a tefillah shov because we don't know whether it's sealed or when it's sealed. See, the truth of the matter is, that's an interesting question. The truth of the matter is, the tefillah shov is not because the tefillah can't do it. Tefillah, the Maharsha says, tefillah is not even considered derech nes. Tefillah is derech hateva. Kodesh Baruch is the shemei tefillah. Bitochen can turn anything upside down. But the problem with tefillah shov is we don't feel it. If I say, Yehirotzen shelo yehei b'toich beisi, this fire shouldn't be in my house, and there's a fire burning, I don't know which house is burning, it's very hard to say that I really mean that it shouldn't be in my house. Because it is. If it is, it is. So that's why tefillah shov. But tefillah shov is only a chesaron legabi us. We it's shov v'sheker. We don't really mean it. We think we're acting for something that can't happen. If a person, in other words, I always have the shaila in the Gemara. I actually brought, I don't think we'll get to it tonight, but the Gemara with Hillel, where it says, Batuach ani shein zeh b'toich beisi, I always had Hillel, the Gemara says he had a different midah. He wouldn't say, you're not allowed to be mispal, Yehirotzen shelo yehei b'toich beisi, but Hillel came into a city, he heard it called Svoch, and he said, Batuach ani shein zeh b'toich beisi. So I wonder, was Hillel allowed to daven? After he's Batuach, is he allowed to say, please, it shouldn't be my house? I don't know if it's necessary if he saw batuach, but it could be to the Baal Bitochen, you'd be allowed to say it because it's not shov v'sheker. To us, it's shov v'sheker. If you know that there's a house burning and you say, please make it, it shouldn't be my house. You know, we to us who live in the world of nature, in the world of Teva, if it is, it is. It isn't, it isn't. What am I saying? I'm fooling myself. So that's, I think, how to deal with that. But anyway, let's analyze a little bit some of this delayed reaction. Chazal say, Lomo nesakrohu imohis. It's a medrash. Why the imohis? Sora rifka rochel. And even Leo, it only says, Vayar Hashem ki snua Leo, vayiftach es rachmo. Even Leo should have had to wait long years before she had children, if not for the fact that Hashem saw that it was rachmonis, can I get rochel in this? So why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu misave l'tfilosan shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu craves the tfilos of tzadikim. So what do we see here? We see that Hashem definitely decided that Avram and Sarah are going to have a child, right? In his mind, it was decided. He didn't just make it up at that moment. This is the Klal Yisrael. He chose Avram Avinu in order to bring about a Klal Yisrael. That was the master plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to wait. Because he's misave l'tfilos and shel tzadikim. Not, it doesn't say that she had to penetrate, like, you know, the how do we say in the nusach of Ne'ilah, it says, v'sosim d'meiseinu b'noid choliyos. We should put our tears in that noid, in that cup of something of sorts, not exactly whatever it is, that vessel. that, like the Hasidim say, you know, wait until the cup fills over with tears, and then the Mashiach will come. So it's not because Sarah had to daven more, because she needed it to get it. That's not what it says. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'avel et tfilos shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted her to daven, not because she wasn't zeiche yet. And what's the pshat? Now, of course, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'avel, he doesn't need anybody's tfilos. He doesn't need anybody's praises. In fact, we've mentioned here, I'm sure, that if we were to praise the newly elected president of the United States walking into this room and welcome president of this room, with all due respect to how beautiful this room is, he'd be very insulted because, you know, I'm the president of the free world. I'm the president of the United States of America. And you're welcoming me as the president of this little room. You know, so it's an insult what we say to Hashem. Any hasoga, any concept that we have of Hashem is, and as great as the words may be, is insulting because we don't have any concept of the reality of His greatness. But He wants it. He's misavel et filosof shel tzadikim, because we are elevated in the process. Every time we turn to Him, every time we beg, every time we ask, every time we praise, we elevate ourselves closer and closer and closer and closer. And He has a cheshbon of how much of that we absolutely need. So the decision can be made a long time ago. And because it wasn't answered immediately, don't panic. And because it didn't come in today's mail, that doesn't mean it isn't coming tomorrow or the next day or the next week. And He knows exactly when it has to come. And if He's delaying it, He's only delaying it for one reason. Because we have more work to be done. Whether it's a dvar mitzvah, whether it's be'inyan hishtadlus, whether it's be'inyan hiskarvus la'Hashem with our tefillos and with our bitochen, He knows those cheshbonos. And the truth is that David HaMelech said the same thing when he said, we said it also in Hallel, Ohavti ki yishma Hashem eskoili tachanunoi. I would love it if Hashem would listen to my begging. Ki hita oznoi li, when or if He will bend His ear to listen to me, uveyomai ekra, I promise I'll keep on calling. The one reason that Hashem may not want to respond immediately to our tefillos and even to our bitochin is because tomorrow, shkoyach, it's all under control. Uveyomai ekra, I promise, David HaMelech says, I know that you may not want to listen to me because you want me to keep on calling. You want me to keep on getting closer and closer and closer and closer to you. And that's, you know, that's this infinite levels of closeness to the Beir Yoylim, who's infinite. So he says, uveyomai ekra, I promise. Uveyomai, my whole life, I'll continue calling. Now you don't have to worry. Now you can listen. Now you can grant. And that's really, and the truth of the matter is, we could say the same thing, and it's an interesting concept, we could say the same thing by Sora. If I was designing the world, I would have suggested, you know, let's Sora daven for 60 years. It's a long time. She's getting so close. She's elevated herself to such a high level. And let her say, how for the last 30, for the last 30 years, till she's 90? Why do you have to panic her so much? Why do you have to cause her so much pain? 90 years of childlessness, you know, and she knows that she has such to accomplish for a Klal Yisrael. Okay, 60 years, that would be my suggestion. 60 years, Bakosha, and 30 years, Halil. The Teretz is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is smarter than that. He understands how it goes with Halil. Halil, the first week or two, it's the whole Halil. The next week or two, it's the half Halil. The next week or two, it's the Oidu. And after that, it's Shkoyach and hasta la vista. Goodbye. You know, we'll see you another time. That's the way we are. When we're not in need, we tend to forget. It gets less and less. Yes, the appreciation, 1, 2, 3, 4, but after a while. So Memela, Kodesh Baruch Hu sometimes has to have a cheshbon, is to keep us going. And the truth of the matter is, when we keep at it, we deepen that connection that will remain with us even after. Because the deeper that connection goes in the trying to get close to Him and trying to get what we want and trying to find that sense of trust and that hope and refusal to give up hope and then that eventual trust in Hashem, that has such an impact on us that it remains. And this is a story which I'm sure that I've mentioned here. You're allowed to recycle in Cedarhurst. I don't know. I recycle a lot, you know. But I try to recycle it when I think it's relevant to the discussion. Well, yeah, no. Anyway, I don't know about Chazaras of stories. But anyway, yeah. So I had a maisa once with a friend whose wife was, yeah, I remember mentioning this, whose wife was got very sick. And I had just published this little book about Bitochen, Patient's Guide to Bitochen, Facing the Unknown, it was called. And I gave it to them, and they were into it, and they got into Bitochen. They even republished it a little bit and sent it someplace. I don't know what happened. Bekitzer, and she went into remission. Very happy, everything was wonderful. A few years later, she passed away. I was afraid to go to be Menachem Oval. The last day I had to go, I knew these people well for years. And I walk in and say, where you been? We're waiting for you. Oops. Want to thank you. Thank me? And they said the following. The chizuk that we got in that process of trying to develop that bitochon when she was sick is where the source of connection and strength came from that helps us to cope right now with the tragedy. That's so true. The more HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps us focused on the tefillah, on the hoping, on the bitochen, on the relationship, on the awaiting, on the v'yom ha'yekro of a misavah l'tefilos shel tzadikim, the more we forge a permanent connection, which will last us a lifetime. And therefore, what he knows, and that's oftentimes, and again, he has the cheshbon, he knows exactly how much each person needs and. And that's what we do. And I believe that's the reason for that which is brought in the Kaf HaChaim about saying Nishmas. If a person has a Tzora, he brings from Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, that if a person has a Tzora, he should say that when this Tzora is resolved, I'm going to recite Nishmas in front of a minion. And then he says, Harbi Nitzoylu Derech Zeh. Many people were saved this way. And I believe the pshat is like this, because we're negotiating with Hashem. We say, listen, I know the only reason you don't want to do this chesed for me is because you want to keep me growing. You want to keep me working to get closer and closer. And you know that as soon as you deliver, I'm, you know, shkoyach, and that's it. So I tell you, I promise you, that when you deliver, I will get together a minion and declare with a vengeance, Nishmas kol chai tevorich el shimcho, adheinu azavunu rachamecho, v'lo yazavunu chasodecho, I will attribute everything to you. And therefore, that's a kaviyochel, so to speak, an encouragement for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speed up the process, because we have promised him that we're going to gain or generate at least a part of that advantage that we would have gotten by a delayed process of waiting and begging and begging. We're going to get it after the fact. But the truth of the matter is, after the fact is very, very difficult. It's eino doime. There's no question about it that when we think we're after the fact, or even a little bit after the fact, or, you know, it's such a fine line, such a fine line. You know, sometimes the most dangerous time in an illness is when the doctor says everything's going to be all right. Ooh, what do you mean? That's the best time. Well, for someone who is so broken that they can't even pray, maybe give them a ray of hope. But for someone who is acutely connected in his bitochem Hashem, and then he hears, oh, it's working, everything's working. You know, the machines are working, the medications are working, the procedures are working, the operations are working, the doctor's brain is working. Ooh, wow. That's maybe the most dangerous time, because we let up in that focus of where the true Yeshua and Hatzolah really comes from. The true Yeshua and Hatzolah is directly decided and executed in heaven, so to speak. It's executed, it's been done. It's like we said, it's in the mail. And I think that is the it's a very fine line to walk, a very thin line to walk, a very difficult line to walk, but it really makes such a difference in our lives. And therefore, we have to keep on focusing and focusing and focusing and refocusing. Now, one of the things I believe that can help us in this process is paying attention to the davening and the brochas that we make. Because really what's going on over there is to constantly remind us that everything we have is an ongoing gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's poikeach ivrim, he opens the eyes of the blind. Now that means that if he didn't open our eyes, we'd be blind. He's malbish arumim, that means if he didn't dress us, we'd be naked. He's mater asurim, that means if he didn't help us to sit up on the bed, we'd be bound to the bed, bedridden literally, we couldn't sit up. He's mezekev kefufim, if not for him, we wouldn't be able to stand up. And he does it. He is zekev, he is mater, he is pekeach, he is malbish. He's mechin metzadei gover. He takes the steps. He sets the steps for us. Every step that we take, it's with his assistance. All the things in life that we take for granted. And if we could develop shakol ne'abidvoroi, it's a mistake. It's not from the hospitality, the gracious hospitality of the host. It's all from the saramashkim. It's all from the Rabbeinu Shalalem. It's all him. If we could take that on in our lives, it'd be a whole different situation. A whole different situation. And that really is the key, to focus on every brocha, on every bodily function, on every gift, on every mitzvah. We take mitzvah for granted. Privileges. Schar one gets for putting on tzitzis. Schar for tariag mitzvahs. Half asleep. What? Look what it is. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tzivoy, the privilege is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everything that we eat, and everything in Shemoneh Esrei, and every halalukah, every praise that we offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all another opportunity to recognize and internalize with an additional sense of depth and reality the fact that it's all from Him. And that's so, so easy to forget. Now, there is something, there are two other things I think we have to be aware of. One is that, I like to tell this story, and again, I think today's recycling day. I'm sure I must have told this story, but when we established the yeshiva in Los Angeles, so originally we were part of a day school, then we separated, and we separated the lay leadership, the board, was a little bit nervous, under a new undertaking like this. The day school, they carried the budget, and we have a new undertaking, it's going to be. So the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Leibowitz from the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, came out, and he spoke to them. He said, Rabbi Yisai says, you shouldn't worry. We have a shutef that underwrites everything. So, fundraising is difficult, but there's a shutef. In the world of Torah, we've survived. The Chazon Ish used to say, no Moshe HaTorah ever closed because of finances. There's other reasons. It's interesting, because the Rebbeinu Shalom takes care of us, and we survive on miracles, miracles, miracles. If I were to write, someday I have to write the book of miracles, just personal, just what happened to us, and just the things that I experienced firsthand, mind-boggling, mind-boggling, mind-boggling. But anyway, so they should have, will underwrite everything, don't worry. A couple months later, I'm at a meeting, and I needed $1,000 for the next day, and I go over to a Jew who was at this meeting originally when the Rosh Hashiva was there, and I say, I need $1,000 tomorrow morning. No problem, puts his hand in his pocket and starts counting the $100 bills. Where's your shutef? He wanted to know, where's my shutef? So I didn't miss a beat in my youth and naivete. I said, what do you care? He was in Israel. Mach patlacha. If the shutef gives it to me this way or the other way, he's giving me the money. What's he asking me? Where's my shutef? What's that? What's wrong with you? My shutef is. And was he? He didn't say anything. He was a nice guy, but a friend of mine told me later how upset he was. Here I'm giving you my hard-earned money, and you're thanking the shutef. I gave you my money. It's my money. I worked for this money. And he's, oh, my shutef is giving it to me. So one lesson is that you've got to be very careful when it comes to the person who's the shliach. We have to be makir toiv as if there was no shutuf. It comes as if it's him. Now the Chovis Halvavos explains this. He says because he had the rotzen hatoiv to give it. He had the good desire. He didn't have the power. If Hashem didn't want me to get the money, he wouldn't have had money in his pocket. He wouldn't be able to put his hand in his pocket. He wouldn't be able to count. Nothing. It's all from Hashem. It's all for the shutuf. But he had the rotzen hatoiv that he wanted to give. He could have said, no, I'm sorry. You know? That rotzen hatoiv, you owe him akoras hatoiv, as if, who knows what. He gave it. Belev sholem, that's the greatest thing. That's mitzarecho. So as much as we have to realize that it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's only a matter of time and deliverance, and the shliach is only a shliach, and it's decided when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to give it, and everything else is just the playing out of the details. Tzacheni, when there is a shutif involved, when there is a shliach involved, I have to appreciate him as if he himself was the source. That's one. But then there's another danger too. Because once you're engaged in appreciating him, again, the line of appreciating him and thinking it's from him and forgetting it's from Hashem is very thin. So it's, we really have to do a dual number. A person, well, no one, don't want to give anyone an idea, they have to be schizophrenic. But we have to, you have a rotzen hatoiv, and I owe you the world for that. And then I whisper to myself, my heart, but in reality, you're irrelevant. In reality, it's all from Hashem. But you have a rotzen hatoiv, and I appreciate you. And the thank you letter that I will send you will sincerely express how much I appreciate everything that you're doing. Mitzad sheni, I shouldn't be fooled by that beautiful letter that I wrote, which sincerely expresses how much I appreciate your rotzen hatoiv. I shouldn't be fooled to think that that's where it comes from. And that's really, I think, the test in life. So I think this, from this discussion, I think that two things come out. The first thing is that delayed deliverance, let's call it, is part of the game, is part of the system that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has installed in the world to elevate us, to give us more and more and more opportunity, not only to be zoiche to the Yeshua. That I would have said before seeing this Rambam. I say, okay, sometimes you need more. You aren't zoiche yet. You aren't zoiche. You don't have the schusim. You have to earn more tefillah, more bitochen. Here he says, ad sherich malei bo hishiyom ve'itzilom. It's a done deal already. Even after the done deal, we have to still keep going because we may not need more to be zoiche to this, but we may need more to permanentize that connection that we developed with Hashem, to permanentize it, to assure that it stays with us even after. And the second thing that we learn is that we have to keep in mind is, number one, it's a two-part. Number one is when it comes to an individual shliach, you have to look at him for that rotzen hatoiv as if he was the Baal Dover. And at the same time, don't be fooled that just because you're thanking him with the sincerity and the as if, in fact, he was the Baal Dover, let's not be fooled and let's not undermine the reality that we have, that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the moment that he decides that it's in the mail, it's a done deal and it's all up to him.